Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week is part 5 in a series called Must Know Truths About Israel. Point number 1 was that the state of Israel is a sign in God's prophetic timetable. Point number 2, Israel in her return from the diaspora is unclean, unholy, impure. Point number 3, there is an unsound rise of anti-Semitism in the evangelical church. Point number 4, according to prophecy, God will be moving the Jews back to the land of Israel. Not only is this a prophecy, this is an undeniable fact. And point number 5, the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. Biblically, they still have a God-given land right, and Christians do well to defend this position. This week, I would like to cover point number 6. The goal of the enemies of Israel is to kill the Jews. You know, like in the book of Esther, Haman, the Agagite, plotted to kill all of the Jews. Now, this truth may sound obvious, even as points 1 through 5 sounded obvious. But in the West, many people are naive in regard to the religious zealotry of Islam against the Jews. Hence, you know, politicians put forth the two-state solution. The solution to the conflict in the Middle East is to create a Palestinian state in Israel alongside the state of Israel. And of course, Islamists put forth this solution as a ruse to get an Islamic state created in Israel so they could create a beachhead for Israel in Israel for the ultimate goal of taking all the land from the Jews. You know, there is a reason these pro-Palestinian protesters are shouting at their rallies, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. The Muslim Palestinians want all of the land. You know, Israel giving the Palestinians in Gaza political autonomy back in 2005 was a failed experiment of sorts. What the Muslim Palestinians in Gaza did with their autonomy is spent all of their international aid on turning Gaza into one huge military base with tunnels and bunkers and stockpiled with weapons. Because their one goal as a people group is to attack and destroy Israel. That's what they live for. That's the immediate goal of their religion. It's their good works. School children in Gaza are taught from a young age that their purpose in life is to die fighting Israel. And the whole Gaza Strip, with 2 million Palestinian people on the Strip, have become a proxy army for every other Muslim country on earth. Yet we still hear leftist politicians in the West talking about a two-state solution and how the Palestinian people just want peace in their religion of peace, Islam. Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, the Democrat leader of the Senate, has been continually calling for the two-state solution, to give half of land of Israel to the Muslim Palestinians, and Chuck Schumer is Jewish. I just heard a prominent conservative pundit claiming that America needs to rebuild Iran with financial aid because after the Allies defeated Germany in World War I, because the Allies didn't come to help Germany rebuild, Germany became radicalized by Nazi nationalism. So therefore, the U.S. needs to send all sorts of aid to Iran. But first, there is a huge difference between the Lutheran-based Christian culture of Germany and the Islamic ideology in Iran. And second, Iran is already radicalized. Sending financial aid to rebuild Iran would be like the West sending Hitler financial aid to build his Nazi army, which is exactly what Obama did in rescinding sanctions on Iran and sending them, by plane, pallets of cash, bundles of $100 bills. That was the big scandal back in 2016 that the news media didn't report on. The reasoning of Obama and the administration was that by being nice to Iran, Iran would become a friend of the West and would be less radicalized, as if the only reason they're being radicalized is because of Western sanctions. It is the standard belief with those on the left that the only reason America has enemies is because America must have done something wrong. Well, Iran took the money and the end of sanctions and used it to build up their missile arsenal and their technology to attack Israel. They also sent money to Hezbollah in Syria, to the north of Israel. And they sent money to Hamas on the Gaza Strip, to the west of Israel. And they sent money to the Houthis in Yemen, to the south of Israel. And they funded all of these military operations against Israel, because that's the main objective and the main purpose of life for these Islamic leaders in Iran. All of these recent attacks against Israel have been funded by Iran. Iran is at war with Israel using Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis as proxies. And Western countries, in sending food aid and financial aid to help the people of Gaza, are actually funding Hamas's war against Israel. Hamas would collapse overnight if it weren't for Western aid. One of the logistical problems in any war is funding your army and feeding your army, as we're now seeing with the Russian army going hungry in Ukraine. But the Hamas army has all the food it ever needs. The food comes in shipping containers from the West, and Hamas militants are given salaries out of international aid given to Gaza, along with millions sent from Iran. The whole Gaza Strip is one big welfare community. The people of Gaza and the Hamas army live off of international aid. Now, I hope you all know about Trump's plan to thwart Hamas in this matter. Formerly, all international aid would be sent to Hamas and distributed by Hamas, and they'd sell it to the people of Gaza. And they'd use this aid to control and employ the people of Gaza. But President Trump came up with a plan that either nobody ever thought of or considered before. He's requiring that the aid be distributed directly to the Gazan people and to bypass Hamas. And with this new policy, Hamas is enraged because, it's thwarting the power that Hamas has. And so Hamas is attacking the convoys of aid. Leftist media in the West is helping Hamas by pushing Hamas propaganda that this new policy is causing the people in Gaza to starve. And the media is more than willing to go along with this story and put up false pictures of children starving because it's another opportunity to discredit President Trump. Yes, of course, life is difficult for the people in Gaza because of Hamas and their war. But we must also understand the propaganda arm of Hamas. But here's the point. How could the people of the West be so ignorant in sending money to Gaza, which supports Hamas terrorism and funds the occupation of Israel by Islamic Arabs? Well, maybe these politicians aren't that ignorant. Maybe they know exactly what they're doing. They may want to actually support Hamas because they're also anti-Israel. And by using the guise of humanitarian aid, this is how they can get support from their public to secretly aid Hamas in their war against Israel. These politicians are very good at playing dumb, just like we've seen in the immigration crisis. But I'm sure it's still a mixture of both political world leaders who are ideologically anti-Israel and those who are just naive. This week I came across a presentation that Ben Shapiro with the Daily Wire did at Oxford in England. And Shapiro presented some very insightful reasons as to why the West is fooled by Islam. Now, I could read the excerpts from his presentation, but let me play it for you. It's about 4 minutes.
The opening statement tonight is pretty serious because of obviously the world events that we're watching around us, which is the real reason that you're hearing people outside chanting genocidal slogans like "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free," which is in fact a genocidal slogan. The river they're talking about is the Jordan River. The sea they're talking about is the Mediterranean Sea. The real question is why that has become such a common sentiment in the West. Why it is that this has become such a common sentiment that you see 100,000 people marching in the streets of London in a pro-Hamas rally. Or why it is you see widespread sentiment honeycombed throughout American universities and universities throughout the West in favor of Hamas after Hamas committed the worst pogrom against Jews since the Holocaust. And let me be extremely clear about this. I brought some visual aids for those people who don't actually believe what is eminently true, which is that Hamas is not the same as the West. Hamas is not morally equivalent to Israel. If you don't believe me, this is what Hamas is. This is what Hamas is. Hamas is murdered babies, babies burned in their cribs. What Hamas is Shani Luke. Shani Luke's body, her head was found today, her skull was found today. She's a young woman, she's 22 years old, and she was murdered by Hamas and taken back to the Gaza Strip where she was put in the back of a truck. Anyone who draws moral equivalence between Hamas and Israel, between Hamas and the Jews, is a Jew-hater, full stop, end of story. So the question is, why exactly that's become such a common sentiment in the West? And the answer is because the West is ashamed of its own values. In fact, what the West really is ashamed of the superiority of its own values. Not everybody thinks the same way. Not everybody thinks the same way. Now, there are plenty of political disagreements to be had on all sides. There are plenty of disagreements to be had with regard to a two-state solution. But there is no disagreement to be had between the values of Hamas and the people who support Hamas and the values of the state of Israel or the values of the West. Anybody who equates those values is making a serious category error. The West has become shy about its own principles. The West has become humiliated by its own principles and instead has decided to substitute an idiotic notion that everybody thinks the same way, and it's not true. And because the West thinks that, the West falls into these category errors where they believe you can buy off terrorist groups like Hamas, where they believe that Hamas's actual goal is not what they say. Hamas openly says their goal is to exterminate all Jews, but we can't believe them because we're so paternalistic that we believe that we don't believe them. It must be economic discontent. It must be a land dispute. Or maybe it turns out that people who burn babies in their cribs, who rape mothers in front of their children, then murder both of them, maybe they don't think like you. Maybe they don't think like me. Maybe these are people who have a different worldview, and that worldview cannot be combated by pretending it away with morally relativistic bullshit. Maybe that is what we are watching in the West. And so what the West actually has to do is start to have a little bit more respect for its own values. And back in 1933, this union voted in humiliating fashion, the so-called Oxford Oath, that they would not defend king and country. And that was used by people like Hitler, like Mussolini, to believe that the West was weak. Any civilization that will not defend its own values, any civilization that creates an equation between its own values and the values of groups like Hamas, is weak. And that is not something the West can afford. Now, 6 million Jews died in camps and died in ditches waiting for the West to discover that its values were superior to the values of the Nazis. The state of Israel exists so that the Jews don't have to wait anymore, and thank God for that. But this is not about Israel for the West. What it is about is whether the West is going to defend values that actually matter. It's about whether the West is going to recognize once and for all that its values are not the same as those of groups like Hamas, that not everything can be talked out in negotiations in a room. That the people who would do the sorts of things that we saw on October 7th are not morally equivalent to people who try to target those terrorists, who are trying to kill those terrorists, while the terrorists themselves are bragging about putting civilians atop their rockets. Okay, any moral equivalence that's drawn in this conflict by the people who are chanting outside should be treated as evidence of anti-Semitism because there has never been a clearer moral contrast than what we are seeing right now.
Well, the moderator then went on to ask Shapiro questions that actually prove Shapiro's point. She asked questions trying to make the case for a moral relativism and a moral equivalency in the world, that all cultures must be morally the same, to say otherwise is bigotry. And in the questions from the students, they showed that they were so indoctrinated in DEI moral equivalency that they really couldn't even comprehend what Shapiro was saying. Now, as Christians listening to conservative commentary, such as this of Ben Shapiro, we see how much biblical truth is excluded, and hence the argument is lacking. From Scripture, we understand the reason the West is naive concerning Hamas and Islam is not primarily because they're ashamed of their values or because they become shy about their own principles, but because they have abandoned their Christian values. They've lost all conviction and no longer believe in truth. Secularists in the West don't believe in sin. They don't believe in their own personal sin, and so they don't believe in the sins of others. Nothing is due to sin. It must be an economic problem. It must be an environmental problem. So a people's dysfunction can simply be cured by giving them money or by giving them a seat at the table. A disbelief in sin is the reason intellectuals in the West support communism, totalitarianism, globalism, and Islam. Additionally, there is a spiritual camaraderie happening on a subconscious level. When you're on the devil's team, knowingly or unknowingly, you will support his entire team. And you will support the Antichrist when he shows up. When people abandon God, they are struck with moral ignorance. Romans chapter 1, they become futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools, and God gives them over to a depraved mind. And by this, they make fatal choices, they're naive, and they walk into their own judgment. And hence we have the Islamification of Europe. The European people no longer believing in Christianity, no longer looking to the Bible as an authority, but looking to their own intellect. Islam comes along and fills the vacuum. So this must-know point about Israel is not simply about the enemies of Israel, but why the secular West is deceived by the enemies of Israel. And that's the bigger part of the story. How moral relativism, a disbelief in sin, a belief in DEI that there should be no moral superiority in values, has caused the world to oppose Zionism. Or rather, these secular ideas have been used as a moral justification for the anti-Zionism that's already in the heart. Here's an example. The threat of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. If you know anything about Islam, you know that if they get a nuclear weapon, they will proactively drop nuclear bombs on Israel to wipe it off the map. You know, with the old Soviet Union and the CCP, you know, the West could always depend on the philosophy of mutually assured destruction. The Soviets would not use a nuclear bomb against us because they knew that it would mean we would use a nuclear bomb against them. But in Islam, there's not the same concern. In Islam, it's their duty to die for Islam, killing infidels. And it's the duty of the people of Islam to suffer. The leaders in Iran can hide out in bunkers. And even if most of their population is killed off by a retaliating strike, it's a small price to pay for achieving the Islamic goal of destroying Israel. Nuclear bombs dropped on Israel could eliminate all plans for a Jewish national state. And it would solve the Jewish problem once and for all. Now, how do we know this about Islam? Because from Scripture, we understand the depravity of the human soul. We understand the influence of the demonic. And we understand the evil behavior in false religion. But what we're hearing from politicians on the left is that it's really no big deal if Iran gets a nuclear weapon. Oh, so they certainly won't use it against Israel. And all of the Democrats in the Senate voted to prevent Trump from using his war powers to bomb the Iranian nuclear facility. You know, fortunately, they didn't have enough votes in the Senate to win. But the underlying issue is that those on the left really don't believe nuclear weapons in the hands of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard would be a threat. Just as when President Obama signed a nuclear enrichment treaty with Iran, believing that Iran would keep its end of the bargain. Instead, Iran barred UN inspectors from inspecting all of their nuclear enrichment sites. Iran was simply buying time in order to build nuclear weapons, because once they have nuclear weapons, they have the power. They were practicing the Islamic teaching of taqiyya, where it's permissible and even encouraged for Muslims to lie to their enemies to gain an advantage. Why don't secularists believe this? Well, maybe it's naivety. Maybe it's actually even a subconscious anti-Semitism on their part. In Psalm 83, we have a statement and a prophecy that the nations surrounding Israel want to wipe Israel off the map. Psalm 83, verse 2. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire against your treasured ones. They have said, come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. Now, the nations that are involved in this objective are described in verses 5 through 8. Verse 5, for they have conspired together with one mind, and against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. All of the nations described surrounded ancient Israel, from the north, east, west, and south. The Arab nations, the region of Saudi Arabia and Yemen, the area of the Philistines, the region of Gaza, the region of Tyre, the region of Syria. The Syrians are mentioned there, which is the region today of Iraq and Iran. And the descendants of Lot are also mentioned. Moab and Edom, the region of Jordan. Now, what's interesting is that there was this hostility toward Israel 1,000 years before Islam ever showed up. So which came first, anti-Semitism or Islam? You know, my guess is that anti-Semitism is in the heart, and it came first. And Islam was developed to be a justification for Arab superiority and a way to justify through religion a hatred for the Jews. But at the root of it all is a despising of God's calling and blessing upon the Jews. Jealousy and envy on the part of the unsaved. And it goes back to the story of Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel because Cain didn't like the fact that God chose Abel. Cain, in his self-righteousness and pride, couldn't stand being second to his brother. And this is what's still driving anti-Semitism in the Middle East today. Psalm 83, verse 2. Those who hate the true God are exalting themselves, and they have created a false God that affirms them. So let's understand the enemies of Israel. Ultimately, it's not about land, it's not about religion, it's not about ethnicity. These people hate the God Israel represents. Romans chapter 5, mankind is at enmity with the true God. Oh, mankind has religion, a God of their own making, but not the true God. And in that the unsaved are part of Satan's kingdom, Satan's spiritual influence is also inspiring hatred for the Jews. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13, and when the dragon, the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, the Messiah. And this verse includes not only Herod wanting to kill Mary and the Christ child, but Satan's persecution of the church, the rest of the offspring of the woman, verse 17, and also Satan's persecution of national Israel. For Satan knows that God still has a plan for the physical descendants of Abraham. Anti-Semitism in the world, even in the Holocaust in Germany, has Satan's fingerprints all over it. Now, in conclusion, I want to end on an encouraging note. The fastest growing church in the world is not in China, it's not in Russia, it's not in Africa, it's in Iran. Among the grassroots, Christianity is exploding in Iran, the main country where radical Islamic leaders are funding and instigating all of these current attacks against Israel. Quote, persecution threatens to wipe out Iran's tiny Christian community, but instead the Iranian church has become the fastest growing church in the world, and it's influencing the whole region for Christ. And there are many articles about this movement, but I especially want to direct you to the firsthand testimony of Ramin Parsa in a video put out by TBN called Ex-Shia Muslim Reveals Millions Leaving Islam in Iran. And Ramin's testimony is that the Iranian people, seeing the cruelty and the dictatorship of their Islamic overlords, has caused the Iranian people to turn away from Islam. And they're realizing that their Islamic leaders aren't even Iranian Persians, but they are Arab foreigners. By law, every baby born in Iran has to be given an Islamic name. So when the people of Iran grow up, they all use Persian nicknames. In Iran, every morning in school, the teachers have the students say, "Death to America, death to Israel." Quote from Ramin, "I saw people being executed and tortured and beaten by the regime, and it happened to me. Everything they told us that Israel is doing to the Palestinians, the Islamic regime was doing to us in Iran. The Iranians now have sympathy for Israel because they're seeing that the Jews are being oppressed by the same Islamic ideology as the people of Iran. Because these Islamic rulers, who they despise, have made the Bible illegal, it makes the Iranians all the more desirous to read the Bible. The Islamic revolution in Iran has done more to end the popularity of Islam." So this is really amazing. And I really don't understand how Satan can overplay his hand. You know, maybe he can't even control the sinful flesh of the very people he gets to do his bidding. And so he unwittingly creates a bad testimony for his false teaching. Or maybe he just doesn't even care. But what could this mean that the people of Iran are turning to Christ? Well, imagine if the underground church in Iran eventually wins a culture, and maybe for a short time, a new administration in Iran supports Israel to such an extent that they use all of their influence in the region to completely do a reversal and support Israel in the expansion of its territory. Or maybe even tear down the Mosque of Omar and allow the Jews to rebuild the temple. That would certainly be a turn of events from the Lord. And that is my next must-know point about Israel. Number 7, the temple will be rebuilt. But that's a discussion for next week. Thanks for listening. Keep standing firm for Christ. And may Jesus Christ reign.